All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. I'm your host, Doug Thornton, and we have with us John Dislin today. He is the writer and author of Nehemiah Strong, and we're going to be going over his book. Just for your point of reference, though, as of right now, it has been officially put out that Roe versus Wade has been turned over from the state back to the from the federal back to the state. And we are now going to start seeing riots, and they already have riot lines forming up in front of the Supreme Court. We have protesters out there who are talking about rioting soon, and we are probably going to start seeing something really bad happen today. So God be with everybody who's out there right now. Make sure you're praying and staying safe, and keep your situational awareness around you at all times. The people that are out there at these protests that will turn riotous will have Molotov cocktails on them. They will have melee weapons, and they will use them if necessary. So if you're out there or if you're in the area, please follow law enforcement instructions when they ask you to leave the area, because they're probably going to disperse chemical agents here very soon, as from what I'm watching right now. But John, other than that, let's get into it.
Is that all that's going on today, Doug?
Yeah, that's it.
I thought it'd be a heavy news day.
Yeah. No, I wish there was something to talk about. Yeah, they're chasing somebody out right now. I don't know who it is. A bunch of senators and congressmen are being chased out of the crowd.
You know, I think it's interesting, Doug, is that we had that little chat before we went live. And when I see something like this happen, I can't help but think there's design behind it. And one of the things I'm thinking of is this announcement could have come out months ago. Months and months ago. The timing of it is really fascinating. Coming into the summer, coming into different situations going on that are embarrassing for the administration, approaching into the, you know, the heaviest part of the election season. So I think I find the timing and then whatever transpires afterward curious, because I see design in it.
Very much so. Very much so. And, you know, this is all coming out before the midterms. So it's a it's like there's been a spirit of rebellion that's been released upon America, and a spirit of violence. And this is all a part of it. You have all these anti-abortion people, and God be with them. But, you know, you need to understand what you're coming out to. It is a spiritual war that's out there, but it's very much going to be a physical war. And these things will manifest themselves. I've been there. I've seen it before. When demons manifest themselves in the physical through crowds of people, through all the riots that I've been through, we've seen it when it's like there's just this wave, this animation within the crowd, and you can see like, okay, they're about to do something, and you can feel it spiritually. You know, you can feel it through like, okay, something's about to happen. Get the gas ready, boys. And that is very much what's happening right now as I'm watching this. Just a little preview for people. This is what's happening. I believe that's AOC that's out there stirring up problems. Yep, that's who that is. AOC. What an idiot, by the way. What an absolute idiot. That's one of our congressmen. She was a wet t-shirt contest bars maid in New York. And then they have a 1,000-person recruitment for who needs to be the next congresswoman or congressperson for that area. And they pick that, right? They pick the most idiotic, socially malnutritious person that's out there. And now she is amping up the crowd, and you know, anything that happens where anything is damaged, anybody gets hurt, any law enforcement officer gets hurt, they need to go straight to AOC for instigating. But they don't do it, John. they don't go after the people who actually instigate the Maxine Waters, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Chuck Schumer's, the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's. They don't go after them. They go after the lesser people. And this is one of the roots of our problems. And I want you to talk about this because we have a war in this country. And me and you were talking about this for like hour and a half before we decided to finally record. Yeah. But we have a true spiritual warfare problem in this country. There's not enough of it happening, and there's too much warfare happening.
Yeah.
So you want to speak on that for us?
Absolutely. Well, hey, Doug, first of all, it's a pleasure to be getting to know you, and I'm really grateful for you having on your platform, your program, and Godspeed. I mean, Psalm 91 blessings over your followers who are pressing into this fight and striving to get equipped, to learn more, to be Gregoruo, like it says in scripture, to be alert and watchful. And blessings to all y'all today. And you were just talking about the warfare, and what one of the things that troubles me about the warfare, I mean, we knew it would be like this, right? Jesus said it would be like this. Scripture says it would be like this. And if you look at the arc of history over the last, say, 40, 50 years, you can just see it fomenting. The thing that bothers me, one of the things that bothers me, there are many, but is that the warfare that's been going on has been so substantially one-sided. And frankly, that was one of the things that was a genesis for me writing the book Nehemiah Strong that I finished just here in the last month or two, is we've got to get in the game. You know, it's sometimes, Doug, I have this picture, and I know you're a family man. I have this picture of a family having this lovely picnic, and they got the blanket spread out, and mom's, you know, handing out the tuna salad sandwiches, and dad's, you know, helping the younger kids. And so they're enjoying this lovely picnic on this grassy field. And meanwhile, this battle is raging all around them. And they're oblivious to it, right? Their dad's munching his sandwich and you know, about to throw frisbee with his boy. But meanwhile, there's, you know, arrows flying and swords cutting and heads being lopped off, and the family's oblivious. And I feel like that's like a picture I have in my mind of so many of us. I think maybe less of people that follow you, but the broader set of people who aren't, you know, raging against God. Not really mindful of just how engaged we already are, and yet we're not fighting back. And so much about my book, Nehemiah Strong, is about getting equipped, getting alert, Gregoruo, and watchful, alert, and really starting to engage and preparing for evil coming in like a flood, like it says in Isaiah 59, because, you know, what you showed, it's happening in real time as you and I are talking, is another manifestation of this Isaiah 59 evil coming in like a flood. And then when it does, God raises up a standard against the evil. And that's our call to battle, is exactly when God raises up that standard.
Yeah. And you know, everything about Roe versus Wade, this is not about women's rights. This is not about, I'll tell you what it really comes down to. It comes down to the Democrats, the left, and even people on the right don't think that there's not conservatives within that branch or body of Congress that aren't into this. But it's the need to have the blood for the sacrifice. It's to keep whatever is happening in this country supercharged through the blood of innocence. And they, and like you were saying earlier, they need the sacrifices. They can't lose it, because, you know, ancient Israel and the Hebraic people, when they were doing stuff like this, they were having orgies in front of the altars of Baal while burning their children in the brazing hands. We are not far from that. And I think, you know, this is just my personal opinion. I think we're not far from, I mean, we already have the LGBTQRS be the law of the land, but there's no law because Supreme Court doesn't make law. So once again, if they burn down the Supreme Court, hey, whatever, I don't care. But we have that that's happened. We have what's soon to be the pedophilia that's going to be approved in this country. It's already being muttered within the halls of Congress. It's already being muttered by them to make pedophilia officially recognized, I don't know, what do they call it, orientation now?
Or preference.
And then it's going to become bestiality. And once pedophilia and bestiality are legalized, and they will be, it's going to be child sacrifice in the open, and not many churches will stand against it. And that's nothing against pastors. That's nothing against the body of Christ. That is what Revelation, that's what Matthew 24, 25, that's what the Bible has been warning you about since Genesis, that the seed of the serpent is coming. They have to have the unsanctioned murder of children for their sacrifice, because Christ was our sacrifice, and Christ is the one that gives us power. But it's the innocence of the blood that gives them the power. Yeah. And John, that's the spiritual warfare, and that's what your book gets into. And I think that's why your book, and you know, I'm reading over on your website, just this is probably the 20th time so far that I've reread all this. And I think it's so great how you broke it down in your book, Situational Report, A Warrior Mindset, the spiritual authority, spiritual weapons and warfare, your legal authority over the adversary, the devil. I can talk all day about this. You know, it's amazing that God led me and you together to be able to do this. But I want you to tell people what's on your heart and what this book can do for people.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, since we don't have I'm in a cushy little sort of studio-ish spot, but if you want to check it out, you can go to johndyslin.com. That's J-O-H-N and then D-Y-S-L-I-N.com. And while I'm thinking about it too, Doug, so I don't forget at the end, there's a 10% discount for your followers if you use the code VINDICTA1.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. So you were just talking about the blood of the innocent, and I can't exhort your listeners enough that you got to go eyes wide open into a season like this, because like you were just showing in real time, as we're talking about this, the enemy is escalating the battle, right? And this response to this curiously timed decision that's released on Roe v. Wade, make no mistake, it's an escalation in a spiritual war that is increasingly spilling over into the physical realm. Like we were talking about before you hit record, I rode for several years with Russ Dizdar, who was, I mean, he had to be top five in the world in terms of spiritual warfare, frontline engagement with satanic ritual abuse and multi-generational child trafficking, incestuous child trafficking, I might add. And so much so, he was so effective that the enemy finally was able to take him out last October. I have no doubt that he was murdered. He did not die naturally. So I bring that up to say, you've got to have eyes to see that as this stuff is escalating, it's not organic. It's not by happenstance. It's not coincidental. It is escalation in spiritual war that's cascading into the physical realm. And so, whereas 50 years ago or 70 years ago, yes, there's evil, but what we're seeing, Doug, doesn't look anything like the 50s. I mean, in fact, in some respects, it doesn't look anything like the 60s, because we're so much further down the pike in terms of what's acceptable on the evil side, and then how far God and worship and scripture and whole families and the whole construct that supports a healthy culture and civilization, how much of that has been eroded away. And when you put those two together, I mean, yeah, you could think of the 60s riots looking like this, but we're at a whole different place on the timeline in terms of Pax Americana.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about the 50s and 60s, that is when we really had the major introduction of Nazi technology from Operation Paperclip. And that's when I believe America really started to turn wicked, is when we brought over these wicked men to instruct our government in their wickedness. And that's it. MK Ultra was a byproduct of Nazi Germany scientists. Project Monarch is another one of them. And we're not the only ones who did it. Russia was also very big into MK Ultra and Project Monarch. And our guys would say the reason why we got into it, it was because of the Russia threat. And that's really not true. They can say it is all they want. They wanted the power for what they were doing. Because if you can harness the spiritual power over a army, you don't need a nuke. You know, you can influence through TV or through psychochemicals, as they were calling them. And then you can, you know, have your way with a nation, more or less. And you know, along with that also came in the indoctrination of Satanism into the military, which that was Michael Aquino and the author of the book Mind Wars. He was one of the head guys for our intelligence system back in Vietnam in the 70s. And he was also the number two guy of the Church of Satan. You know, the number two guy of the Church of Satan, who was just as wicked as could be, but yet he also walked the Pentagon, walked through the halls of Congress, you know, shook hands with presidents. He's the one who shaped the way our intelligence field operates. He's the one who actually gave us some of the weaponry that we use now with frequency waves. And that was given to us by a man whose foundation was rooted in Lucifer. Just imagine what we could have accomplished if we would have just wiped that out of our conscience, out of our country, and went back to Christ. That's what I think your book does. I think your book brings back the want and the need and the seriousness, because the lateness of the hour, for needing to be rooted with Christ. I want you to talk about the warrior mindset part.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because right as you brought it up, the cover of my book came to mind, and I wish I had a copy of it. It's 480 pages, so I chose not to lug 4 more pounds around with me. But on the cover of the book, I felt really inspired to put, and if you see it, if you go to my website, you'll see it, but it's basically a flaming Lion of Judah head living in a shield. And so he is our shield. He is our strong defender. And by the way, if you grew up in church and you've been indoctrinated with this mindset that Jesus is this little baby in a manger, he was that. He's not that anymore. He fulfilled that mission. He's not a broken body dead on a cross. He was, he fulfilled that mission. Now, as it says in Revelation, and I know, Doug, you're a fan of Revelation, so you've got eyes to see. He is the Lion of Judah who will return to judge and to make war. And if you don't think that the enemy is absolutely terrified of him, you're not seeing Jesus for how he is as the conquering king that Israel was looking for the first time. Part of why they rejected him 2,000 years ago was they got the savior they weren't expecting. Well, this time they are going to get the savior they're expecting, and the Satanists are going to have a really bad day. But back to what you were saying, and it ties in with this image, Doug, that I put on the cover. We're meant to be like Christ, right? That's the whole point of the word Christian. To be like Christ is to never back up. And I know, Doug, you're fond of that concept of never a step back, right? That's how Christ lived out his mission. He wasn't a warrior in the traditional physical sense. But if you read the Gospels and then you read Revelation, he was ferocious in his desire to honor his father by completing his mission, and his boldness in confronting the demons, confronting the Pharisees, in standing as a man before Pilate, and his very life stood in his rested in his hands. He backed away from nothing his entire life and his mission. And we're supposed to be like that. And so one of my favorite chapters in the book, Doug, is warrior mindset. And I know you walk in that. I mean, your background, you've been living that for years. We all have to walk in that warrior mindset. And there's some extraordinary scriptures throughout the Bible. And I've sprinkled over 100 of them into this book to exhort us, and hopefully many of your followers who understand the nature of Jesus, that we have to walk in that mindset now, because it's up to us. And Doug, you were talking about how you've got a lot of young men who are following you and checking you out and striving to glean some pearls of wisdom from you. And for you young men, I just exhort you to really press into that concept of adopting a warrior mindset. Now, when I say that, you know, our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And this war that is raging and just took another level up because of Roe v. Wade, it starts in the supernatural, in the spiritual. You need to have that in your grid. When you see these just out of their minds, totally out of control people, Antifa, Blantifa, you know, the raging Satanists who are going to burn stuff down inevitably soon. It's not natural for a person to do that. And it's important for you to understand those people are demonically charged. You're actually seeing spiritual warfare being waged against society and order and, you know, the Christian ethos. You're seeing it manifest in the physical, in their voice, and then throwing Molotov cocktails. That's spiritual warfare spilling over. You've got to develop for your grid an understanding that it's spiritual, that you're on the battlefield, whether you like it or not, whether you asked for this or not, and that there's a lot you can do. And frankly, the victory is yours for the taking. And Doug, I know as a longtime warrior, you understand that warrior mindset. You have to bring a commitment and a faith in total victory to the fight, to carry the fight to the enemy and to carry the day. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You have to bring yourself to the fight. You're not going to win it sitting in your house. And, you know, the thing about it is God gave us the ability to bring ourselves to that fight through the spiritual warfare. And we have to meet the enemy on the battlefield. Otherwise, you give them the field. And once you've given the enemy the field, you now have to plan a whole new operation of how to take it back. And typically, that's when you start to have losses. You know, one of the problems in America is that we have given the enemy the battlefield. And now we are doing our best to take it back. And maybe we won't. And I'm not unabashed to say that. You know, within Revelation, and it's still something that is hard to ponder at times, but the Antichrist is given the ability to overwhelm, overpower, overdo the saints. So, you know, even though we have carnal weapons, even though we may be mighty men physically, you cannot overpower prophecy. And we, you know, you're not going to overpower it. You're not going to pray prophecy out. Prophecy is going to be fulfilled. And I think that's one of the things that a man like me, and, you know, because for so long, John, I depended on rebuking things in the physical, physically, And it wasn't until maybe a couple of years ago when I learned to start doing it spiritually. And, you know, even with the warrior mindset that I have, I practice with weapons. I practice with, you know, knives. I practice with axes. I practice with swords. I practice with shield drills like the Romans and the Spartans used to do. I practice with obviously rifles, but practicing spiritual warfare is something that I've been lacking. And my wife gets on to me all the time about it, and she's correct. And it's because as a man, I want to say, I can handle this. If I can just get my hands on you, I can take care of the problem. But we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. Yep. And so that's one of the things where when we try to speak to younger men, because that's my targeted audience, it may not be who communicates with me, but my targeted audience is younger men, because it's the younger men and women. It's the younger men in this nation that I want to reach, because I was once that young, stubborn fool that God was trying to pull out of the gutter. And I refused, absolutely refused. So I want to be able to reach men like that. I want to be able to reach men like me, stuck in the situations and the mindsets like I was, and just let them know there is another way. There's a better way. There's a purer way. And, you know, spiritual authority and knowing your foundation of where you stand in Christ Jesus is one of our foundations for our authority. And yep. I think if you don't teach people that, they won't learn it.
Yep. And look, we all were there, right? We all didn't know before we knew. And now that, and Doug, you and I had that a robust conversation before you hit the record button, the knowing and having the grid illuminated in terms of understanding the nature of the battle, the nature of the battlefield, illuminating the terrain and knowing your enemy is, I wish I could put into words how empowering that is. How in scripture, you know, it's New Testament is written in Koine Greek, the Greek word dunamis, that the word dynamite is based off of, that dunamis is translated as power. And that's the power that's available to those who've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I got to tell you, like, if you're out there right now and this sounds like a load of bunk to you, I challenge you to challenge him to stick your toe in the water and to challenge him to show you that he's real. Because I'm here to tell you, as somebody who walked a hypocritical life for too long and then finally saw the light and turned it over, the authority, the peace, the strength, the warrior mindset that's available to you as someone who's turned it over to the one who already died for you while you were his enemy, is there's nothing like it. It's unparalleled. The enemy can only counterfeit it. So when you see these tough guys, you know, playing for the dark side, they're just faking it. And the comical thing about it, Doug, is they know it. They know they're a counterfeit. They know they're putting on a show. And frankly, I think it's gatherings like these, Doug, that scare the crap out of the enemy. When you've got two spiritually up and hard, somewhat older men, I think I'm older than you, but older men who've been around a few times, who are spending time reaching out to the younger generation saying, follow me, go this way, consider doing it this way. Don't make the mistakes we made. Don't wait for the years till you've acquired this dunamis. Press into it now because the hour is so short. I think it scares the crap out of the enemy. And I rebuke in Jesus' name every force that would come against you and me, exhorting young men and also women to stand up and to have eyes to see and to get in this fight. Because in my opinion, Doug, the victory is ours for the taking. Yeah. I agree with you. Prophecy is going to happen. There's no doubt. But we also know that the restrainer will restrain until he is taken out of the way. And it's only within God's construct and God's timeline. It's not the enemy's timeline. It's only within God's timeline when the restrainer is taken out of the way in 1 Thessalonians, and only then does this Antichrist spirit, is he allowed to come forward. To me, Doug, until then, it's ours for the taking. Absolutely ours for the taking. But to me, the victory is not here in this world, in this time frame. Our victory is eternal. And our victory, to me, Doug, and I really want your response to this, to me, the victory isn't in a temporal, physical realm outcome. Our victory is in how we fight the fight now. If we fight the fight with valor and honor and courage and faith, and we die, so what? We know it's an eternal game. We're not here. We're only pilgrims here anyway, right? We're just passing through, but we're trying to honor our Father who sent his Son for us and live it out and fight ferociously. And so our victory is in the conduct of ourselves in the battle, because we know how the story ends.
That's right. That's right. And we have to remind ourselves that we are citizens of the kingdom. And because we are the citizens of the kingdom of a mighty God, the only God, we have to hold ourselves accordingly. And, you know, we are all meant to be able to carry the sword for God, every single one of us.
Yep.
And you know, you can carry it carnally like I did for almost 15 years, or, you know, you can carry it spiritually, or you can do both. I'll tell you one of the things that I wish I could go back in time. I wish I could go back in time and be a Christian before I got into the Marine Corps, because I think that would have gave me a different value of life. It would have gave me a different mindset, but that's not the way my life played out. And I now use my experiences, even through a lot of the dark times that I went through, to now guide men that I see who are going through similar things that I went through.
Yeah.
And it's that connection that we have that helps me to break through some people. And, you know, that goes for anybody, John. If you are, you know, if you're someone who's a prior alcoholic and you see someone struggling with alcohol, mentor them. Use Philadelphia. Use brotherly love. It's okay for you to say, hey, man, you don't need to be doing this. But give scripture. Give love. You know, be kind to one another. It's one of the things that Christ told us. Just be kind to one another. Can't you just do that? We can't, though. That's the weirdest thing about it. And that's one of the powers of Satan, is to drive the wedge, not just between the man and the woman, not just between the man and God and where our hierarchy is within a family, but to divide man from man, woman from woman, to eventually a man's enemies will be of his own household. You know, and that's, John, that's what we're living through. We're living through that right now.
Yeah. And I think back to something you said just a minute ago, Doug, that I really want to exhort your followers regarding, is you were talking about your kinetic physical realm development of your warrior skills. I don't think it's coincidence or just happenstance that when Paul wrote that seminal section talking about the armor of God, it was a description of a Roman soldier. And I say that to say those skills, that mindset has a lot of translation, a lot of power to translate to the spiritual realm. You and I talked before about my travels with Russ Dizdar, who was such a ferocious spiritual warrior. The discipline, the courage, the fearlessness, the always moving forward, so many of those, what I might call soft skills, but also that mindset, that understanding of the nature of battle, whether it's physical or whether it's supernatural. It's, to me, I see so much value in translation from that kinetic, physical, military warrior ethos and experience to the supernatural realm. And so for your listeners who think, oh, well, that's so weird, I don't have any experience, whatever, I'm telling you, you're a lot closer to being a fearless, devastating warrior for right and good and life and Christ and faith and, you know, what America ought to be, then you're giving yourself credit for. And one of the things, Doug, that you and I talked about before, but I'm really glad I put it in there in the book, was an entire section on spiritual warfare. So I called it Spiritual Warfare Toolbox or Toolkit. And it's it took me a month to write. It was really informed by so many of these experiences I've had in the last 8 years with folks like Russ Dizdar. And I packed into it everything I could in terms of equipping those who want to be deadly in the fight from a spiritual perspective against the evil. And I actually ran it by Magnum, who's an Aussie spec ops friend of mine, become a brother of mine. And he's done heavy duty spiritual warfare on four continents over 7 years. And he said it was the best write up on spiritual warfare that he'd read. And he asked me if he could use it with groups that he speaks to. So I don't say that to brag. I just say, if that's something, if you want to get up and hard for the fights in the spiritual realm and apply that warrior mindset in the spiritual battle that we are in as we speak, Doug, I would really encourage you to go to the website, johndeslin.com, and check it out, because that section will gear you up.
Absolutely. And, you know, just to back this, I believe it's, let me see, because I had to look it up. Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name.
Amen. That's in my book. That's one of the quotes in my book. I love that.
Yeah, I had it right there on the tip of my tongue. I was like, I know it's Exodus, but I can't remember which freaking chapter it was in.
About that. It's in his name, okay? When people show the little, you know, the manger, and look, I'm glad he came as a baby. I'm glad he came in human form so that he could expose himself and die for our sins. That was the mission, right? So I'm glad he was that. That's not him anymore. That was mission specific, and he is a man of war. And not only that, it's in his name, which is to say it's in his nature. His essence is as a man of war. And Doug, aren't we created in his likeness and image? Aren't we supposed to strive to look just like him? He's a man of war. And we are to resemble him on our mission in this life, on this world that we're just passing through.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, I will never drop the warrior mindset. And I implore anybody, you don't have to be prior military. You don't have to be the prior law enforcement or current law enforcement to have the warrior mindset. It's the will of the person, you know, it's honestly, the struggle and the fight, because you want to overcome so many things physically. And you'll eventually get to a point where, you know, and I've been there where, like, you know, I've done everything I can. I can't pay the bills. You know, I'm working, things are falling apart. And then you have to stop and realize, oh, wait, I haven't been reading my Bible either in the last week or two. And we all do it. We all go through it. And I'm not saying that it's not shameful, but, you know, that is the struggle. And the flesh is weak. The struggle against the flesh is a constant thing that we have to fight against. And that's one of the tools that the devil uses. And that's why having a hardened mind rooted in the foundation of the Word of God, and then having being led by the Holy Spirit, is why we are so potent on the battlefield. Because if we can lead as torchbearers, then we will have people who will follow. In the old Marine Corps saying, you know, lead, follower, get out of the way. One of the things that we have to remember is that we need to be looking backwards. We need to be checking our six, because not only is the enemy all around us, but there are people that you can leave in the wake. you have people that are baby Christians and you have people that are not experienced enough in what we're talking about and who shy away from spiritual warfare. And you have people who, like me once, I was a practicing pagan. And when I would see stuff like this, I'm like, you guys are weird, you know, but my gods were stronger. But yet, once again, my gods never walked. They never died and rose again from life, conquering death. Yeah. And so, you know, with that, I understand that this fight that we see with the warrior mindset, with spiritual authority, with the spiritual warfare, we're fighting against an enemy that uses your emotion to empower people. One of the things that, you know, I can say as someone who practiced Norse paganism is that it's a bravado cult. There's no power in it. The power is in your mind, but it's a bravado cult. It's a peacock. And whenever I used to work in prisons, it's something that you learn working in prisons as a correctional officer, being around thousands of felons. And I mean, mafia bosses, we had assassins. We had one of the 9/11 hijackers. We had, hitmen. We had, we had psychopaths, mass murderers. We had all different types of people in our prisons. And I experienced them all. And I learned who the bad guys were and who were just peacocking. And you could tell the guys who are just being loud and boisterous and just wanting everyone, look at me. You know, I have a tiny heart. Look at me. Everybody give me attention. Those criminals were the ones like, get away. For I test and see if you're allergic to concrete or not. But it was the guys who wouldn't say anything, who would just stare at you. That's the ones that, you know, bothered you. And that's the ones that you would look at and say, that guy's evil. You can feel it. You can walk past that guy's cell and just feel like this force of evil. Or even when you would go in it, you're just like, oh, God, I don't want to go in here. Those are the type of people that Russ Dizdar talked about. You know, that is the people that were empowered satanically, as what he would call these satanic super soldiers. Yeah. And I think people misconstrued that fact a lot. Whenever we say super soldier, we're not talking about the lame duck guy who was Captain America, who was all about the man kissing scene in his latest movie. What is that? Toy Story, the new Toy Story movie, where they refused to pull out one scene of two guys kissing in a children's movie. All right. That's where we're at, America. Yep. You know, don't use those type of men as examples, because they're poor examples. They're not examples. They're made up characters. We have real examples of real men in the Bible. And if we don't show younger men those real examples, if we don't be motivators to them, if we don't be mentors to them, then they'll choose the other path, as I did. And that's a dark path. And sometimes you can't come out of it. You know, I was lucky enough to come out of it. I was lucky enough to have a strong wife who pulled me out of it. But there are plenty of them out there who aren't. And there are plenty of them out there who, and you know what? A lot of these people are lonely people who are hurting people who've had traumatic childhood experiences, and they don't know the love of Christ. And when some of these guys are introduced to the love of Christ, they're introduced to Philadelphia. They go, oh man, I didn't know I was supposed to experience that. I thought you were going to, you know, pour holy water on me and try to cast the demons out. Like, no, man, we can be friends to sinners. We can still sit here and try and talk to you about Christ. And that's one of the things I show. That's one of the things that I saw that Russ do that inspired me.
Yeah. I just wanted to speak to that real quick, because one of the innumerable tools of the enemy is to use weak religion, to use religion, and to use, frankly, false shepherds, false pastors, to infuse into people a dislike and a reject, like an instinctive, like a programmed, that's the best word, rejection of Christ, of Jesus, the price he paid for you, of your father, whose thoughts of you are greater than the sand of the sea. to keep you away from the truth. So I really would exhort you, if you've got a background in, let's say, Catholicism, where everything was religiosity, everything was rote, everything was these traditions of men. If you've got, you come from a broken family where your father was abusive or neglectful, where you didn't have a strong relationship with your father, that can so often create difficulty in coming to your spiritual father, okay, who is the good father. He's the perfect model of a father. If you've got programming from this world that's designed to keep you from coming to the cross, coming to the point of victory in all of history where God put an end to death and hell and the grave, and Jesus took back the keys of those places and those things. I really exhort you, and I pray in Jesus' name that you stop yourself for a minute and you try to recognize the programming that's keeping you from the truth. Doug and I aren't sitting here talking about Jesus and spirituality and the cross and God because it's cool, because in this age, it's anything but cool. We're exhorting you because we've spent decades pursuing the wrong things. And we've come to, with our gray hair, certainly mine, I'm not going to speak for you, Doug, but.
Oh, mine's all my beard, my hair, man. Don't think it's not. I cover it with
that. All right. All right. but wouldn't you agree, Doug, we've spent years and years and years and years chasing the wind. Like Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes, go read the book Ecclesiastes. He spends the entire book chasing the wind, okay? Sowing seeds to the wind, like that's going to reap a harvest. If you've got programming from this world that you're attributing to God, where you got a bad preacher, you got bad doctrine, don't blame God for weak or wicked men's wrong doctrine, wrong thinking, or worse yet, intentional corruption to keep you from the truth. You press into it yourself. You go seek the truth yourself, and what you'll find, like I found, like Doug found, will astound you, because the truth is that the power, not only just the love, the peace, the forgiveness, the salvation, but if you're looking for power, you want to be a power-filled young man, it's at the cross.
That's right. And that's one of the best examples you could ever have as a man, I believe, was Jesus. The ability to learn how to be humble, but how to be steadfast and rooted in your ways and not to break in front of the enemy. You know, like I said, no backward step. That was Jesus the entire time. You know, never cried out, never backed down, never said no more. You know, the only time we ever hear Jesus utter anything like that is in the garden when he asked God to let this cup pass over him. But, you know, he took the fight to the enemy. And that is our example, it to be Christ-like. Pick up your cross and follow me. You know, be Christ-like doesn't just mean that, you know, you go to church on Sundays or Wednesdays and then that's it. You know, the fight is constant. And the fight is not just constant in your mind and in your heart with your own problems. This is with other people's problems as well. Let's talk about the tactics of the adversary. All right.
Yeah, it's and we've been speaking around it, but there is a chapter in the book that, because it's important. I know, I suspect, Doug, I don't know, but I suspect you're a student of folks like Sun Tzu. Mm-hmm. And Sun Tzu wrote that if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not doubt the outcome of 100 battles. And I think that's actually in the chat in that chapter. But it was important to me to open people's eyes to the tactics used by our adversaries when things get kinetic here in the physical world. And I'm thinking particularly of situations like a knock on the door. Let's say somebody decides it's a really good idea to quarantine your, you know, 10-year-old daughter for 2 weeks because she, you know, contact traced on her phone to somebody who tested for something. There are a bunch of tactics and a bunch of manipulations that in this situation, your adversary, somebody who's not looking out for your best interest for your family, they will use to manipulate you. But here's the thing, Doug, it's almost like when you're sitting there with your kids and they watch the Wizard of Oz for the first time. And then all of a sudden they see the dog, you know, Toto pulls back the curtain and there's that little professorial man pulling the gears and the levers and pushing the buttons. Once you see behind the curtain and you see, let's say their loud authoritative tone or their declaration that, you know, they have the right to do so-and-so. Once you see it for what it is, which is a power play, it's theater, really. It almost becomes funny because you're not under the spell anymore. You've got eyes to see. And so that chapter is all about, hey, they'll do this, they'll do this, they'll do this, they'll do this. They'll use these tactics that they've been trained with, by the way. They've been trained to do those things. They will do it to secure your compliance, and you don't have to fall for it. You just don't.
What about and you know, probably one of the most telltale tactics that the adversary would use comes out of Revelation. With the false prophet and the ability to perform miracles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think of the word miracle and that only pertains to, you know, followers of God, but the enemy is given the ability to perform miracles, to even call down fire from the sky. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's I don't know, maybe it's like Elijah fire, maybe not. Maybe it's manifested from technology, mm-hmm. but the adversarial tactics of the false prophet. Do you see that being used right now in today's America, in this world?
Adversarial tactics of the false prophet. I do, and let me just mention too on that point, I think you made an extraordinary point that I don't want us to just pass over. No pun intended. If you go back to the book of Exodus, and you read about Moses' confrontation with Pharaoh, who, by the way, was one of the first types, not the very first, but an early type of the Antichrist, okay? His prophets or his men of magic were able to actually replicate the first few plagues that God brought against the Egyptians and against Pharaoh through Moses. And so, and I see this particularly among Catholics, and I didn't grow up Catholic. I understand it externally from the outside, but it's crucial that you understand that just because you see a miracle doesn't mean it's from God at all. In fact, the enemy loves to use whatever kind of counterfeit they can gin up of a miracle to lead you astray. And in fact, in the New Testament, we are told to test all the spirits. You know, just because something miraculous happened or some incredible coincidence or something, don't just assume that's a good thing. So anyway, back to your question, I do see it. I think, you know, that's not to say that I think the false prophet is on the field. In my opinion, the false prophet is alive. I'm not sure if he knows that he is the false prophet. But that spirit of Antichrist, I think there's also that spirit of false prophet where you have people speaking smooth things, as scripture says, you know, speaking things to itch our tickling ear or tickle our itching ears. So the deception is there. The false doctrine, the false message is all over. I mean, it's flooding all around. And then frankly, I think what we're going to see, Doug, is as they stripped away the right spirituality, if you can call it that, of faith in God through Jesus Christ, that's a precursor to replacing it with something else. And so what I think we're going to see in the coming months is increasing doctrine, religious doctrine around, you know, whether it's New Age, it's probably going to be a consolidation of things like New Age, Buddhism, Islam even. But there's going to be this amalgamation because that beast system has, it's got military, it's got economic, it's got, but it definitely has the spiritual, because ultimately Satan wants to counterfeit the worship of God. And that's one of the things he's after most, that and the utter destruction of mankind.
Yeah, I think part of that destruction comes with the great deception. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the great deception is going to be religious, obviously. Mm-hmm. As you said, the religiosity of man, that dogmatic practice of we need to have a religious figure and a place to go and to worship into, and people will be caught up in that lie because, you know, they're going to be taught a lie and they're going to be told that that lie is the only way. And I think eventually Christians like us are going to be strung out into the wilderness, and we're not going to have a safe place within the hive cities anymore, the mega cities like Judge Dredd that are eventually coming. You know, we are going to be in such a, just imagine what kind of a dystopian future that must be when the man of sin is finally out in the flesh, when the false prophet is out, when, I mean, we're talking about potentially, and you know, eschatology is hard to determine at times with Revelation, but if we're talking about a time when all these judgments are being poured out on us, the seals are being opened, you know, you have the locusts, the abyss, you have the stars falling, the seas boiling, world wars that are happening, famines and pestilence and plagues. There's going to be economy crashes. There's going to be people dying left and right. And it says that, you know, a quarter of the population will die here, and then a quarter of that quarter will die here. Just imagine what this world must look like. And they want that now. The enemy
wants that. They're gunning for that.
Yeah, the enemy wants to do that before God does it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they're in a race. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you something also hearkening back to Exodus and Moses' engagement with Pharaoh. And you got to think about that. Moses was a spiritual warrior, right? He had a warrior mindset. He was engaged with spiritual warfare with Pharaoh to liberate the Israelites, who, by the way, are a type and picture for us Christians. We're not unlike that. We know from the New Testament, we're grafted in. We're the wild olives, right? We're grafted into that root, that vine that Jesus came out of. But it's important to remember, Doug, as the curses, as the plagues were coming down on the heads of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, specifically, repeatedly, we're assured, we're comforted because in God's word, it says repeatedly that God's people were protected from the each of the plagues that came. They were supernaturally protected in Goshen. And I'm really believing, Doug, that as things get worse, that there's going to be cities of protection, areas of protection, for believers, where the plagues that are falling on the heads of the wicked are not going to touch us. In fact, it says in scripture, it says that we are not appointed to judgment, right? Jesus already paid the price. God is a perfectly fair God. He's not going to send a second bill for us to pay that Jesus already paid for us. In fact, also too, Doug, I suspect, you're a fan like I am of Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91, it says that 1,000 shall fall by thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. And I'm utterly convinced that between you, me, and the followers of you who are pressing into this fight and striving to know more, there are people on this call on this program who are going to live that scripture.
That's
and
right.
Sooner rather than later. We're going to live it.
That's right. And you know, my only prayer is that I can just be a conduit of God's meaning and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, like I said, just to be, even if it's not the greatest example, because I'm not the greatest example, I'll be the first one to tell you that. Just the ability of a series of stages of examples of where you should be getting to in your life. You know, my goal is to reach back down into the muck and mire that I was in to pull men out of it. Mm-hmm. And I hope that there are women out there that are doing the same, because I think women right now are going through a tremendous time in this country. And a lot of times get left out of that topic because, hey, I have seen recently, and I know from the emails that I get more women that email me, and I mean from the age group between the 20s to the 70s, that email me that sound more powerful, that sound you know, more courageous, and that sound like they're really out there doing what God calls them to do, than I have men. And that is disturbing to me. And not to say that men aren't listening. And there's plenty of my brothers that are out there listening. And you know, and I conversate with a lot of them every day. But the overwhelming amount has been from the women who have had to take up the mantle of this fight. Men, we have sat out for too long.
Yeah.
We've sat out for too long.
Amen. And I would just add to that, Doug, that, you know, for women out there who are pressing into this fight, as we're exhorting the men, we're not trying to leave you out. I've been so touched as the father of daughters. I've been so touched by Proverbs 31 and the Proverbs 31 woman. It's the back two thirds of the last chapter in Proverbs. And it paints such a lovely picture of a godly woman, but something that really struck me when I read it, Doug, is it's not describing a woman who's powerless, who's incapable, who's a wallflower, a shrinking violet. It's describing a woman who is strong. She's confident. She knows who she is. She's respected by her community. She's a leader in her family. And her husband is blessed by her, and he feels that. And so for women out there who are sort of looking for that compass heading for you to strive to walk out, I really would encourage you, read Proverbs 31, be a Proverbs 31 woman for your husband, your boyfriend, for your family, for your community, because I'm convicted that that's a call that God has for women, particularly in a season like this, like it says in Esther, Doug, where it says, who's to say you weren't born for such a season as this, for such a time as this?
That's right. Yeah, you know, be strong like Esther, be strong like Deborah.
Yep.
There are too many examples out there. You know, and once again, right now we have a series of people in this country who are battling against patriarchy. But people fail to realize, John, that it's the patriarch and the matriarch that makes the family.
If the patriarch is worth his salt, he won't let 5 seconds pass without knowing the strength and how the woman makes everything work. It doesn't work without the woman. And it's not about the man being better than the woman. It's about roles and accepting your role and living in harmony and joy and strength together, because you know who you are and you know who your spouse is, and you can recognize and have the strength to receive that you're so complementary to each other without striving to do what the other person was meant to do.
That's right. One's the sword and one's the shield. And that role can be reversed at any moment. You can be defending and defending your loved one and attacking the oppressors, or, you know, they could be defending you. And, you know, it can go back and forth. And that's why we're supposed to be so equally yoked and cut of the same cloth, made from the same flesh. And that's why Satan hates it. That's why he has to divide it. That's why. And, you know, we're about to end the interview, but if you look at all the stuff that's happening right now with Roe versus Wade, the amount of young women that are out there that they appear to be, and this is my observation from, you know, dealing with these groups, is that most of them appear to be young women who've never even gave birth. They're not mothers. Most of them aren't married. And, you know, they're out there within the spirit of rebellion. And there has got to be something missing in them, someone who didn't instruct them enough, or, you know, and sometimes, you know, you can instruct plenty and you can love the most and people will still walk away from it. You know, that's as an adult, you make that decision. So I pray that at least some of the people out there can be drawn back into the flock, because we need every citizen for this kingdom. I don't want to lose one of them, you know, and I used to be of a different mindset, you know, kill them all, let God, you know, sort them out. That used to be the mindset. Thankfully now it's not. I'm a much more humble and laid back person, and I can see the errors of my ways. And I hope that people will listen to me and you today, and they, you know, if they have errors in their life, that they can see it and they can adjust it. And I hope that your book can be a blessing upon people. And I think it really is, and I think it will be.
Thank you. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate that.
Yeah, John, and I invite you to come back on anytime you feel like it, man.
I love that. I feel like I've made a new brother here the last week or two. So
absolutely.
This was a blast.
Absolutely. Maybe a little bit bigger of a brother. You know, you don't know this, John's 7 foot tall. So, but you're going to be out at the training, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we'll be training together here in a couple months.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, man. Bring your work boots, because we're going to be out there getting into it.
We're going to get into it.
Yep. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the American Vindictus Show. My name is Doug Thornton. This is our guest, John Dislin. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.